Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today we'll be exploring ways that you can have a spiritually enriching Advent and Christmas season that draws you closer to God. I'll be joined by Mary DeTouris-Paust, author of Waiting in Joyful Hope, and Sister Catherine Herms, co-author of Advent Christmas Grace. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and the holiday season is upon us once again. Now, that means that our free time is soon going to be filled with buying gifts, decorating the tree, and maybe attending a Christmas party or two. But as great as those things are, we don't want them to distract us from the Christ-centered nature of Christmas. So today I'm talking to two guests whose books of Advent reflections will keep you spiritually grounded during this busy time. I am pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up Mary DeTouris-Paust, Communications Director for the Diocese of Albany and author of the book Waiting in Joyful Hope. I'm also pleased to welcome Sister Catherine Herms, a member of the Daughters of St. Paul and co-author of the book Advent Christmas Grace. Mary, Sister Catherine, thanks so much to both of you for being on the show today.
Thank you for inviting us.
All right. Well, right off the bat, I'm going to admit that I'm one of those people who's ready to dive into the Christmas season at the start of November. But at the same time, I realize that Advent is an important component of everything so that we don't get lost in the craziness of the season and forget what it's really about. So, Mary, let me start with you. How and why did you come to make Advent a vital part of your spiritual life?
Well, I think that's an interesting question for me. I talk about all the time how I'm more of a Lent person.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, that's always resonated better with me. I like the desert. I like to be in that place, that empty place.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always sort of struggled with Advent a little bit. And it was really through my writing that I came, I think, to start to look at that Advent period as the gift that it is, because I'm not a very patient person. I like to do things done, to get them done. I like mm-hmm. I talk fast, I walk fast. I like everything to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
And waiting is not my best feature. So,
you sound like a New Yorker.
learning that was really, I think that's been a really important thing for me, and I'm still working on it.
Okay. Sister Catherine, what about you? Did you always treat Advent as a time to draw closer to God, or was it a gradual process learning that slow, patient walk with God?
I've always loved Advent, and in fact, now I always save a few days of vacation to have during the Advent season, just to spend that time quietly.
Mm.
But I think Christmas actually puts on people a lot of expectations
mm-hmm.
On ourselves or what others may have of us. And for me, and that kind of creates a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
And Advent for me has become this place to really connect and ground myself in something slow, as Mary was saying, something
yeah.
that goes for 4 weeks, slow and connecting and grounding.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I'm talking to Mary DeTouris-Paust. She's the author of Waiting in Joyful Hope, and Sister Catherine's book with the Daughters of St. Paul is called Advent Christmas Grace. Since Advent begins so close to Thanksgiving all the time, I'm curious, Mary, let me ask you this. Where do you think the concept of gratitude fits into the Advent journey?
Oh, I think it's so critical to the Advent journey and then taking it beyond that Advent journey.
Mm-hmm.
We hear a lot about it. You know, we hear it in pop psychology and on talk shows about the importance of gratitude journals, and yet there really is that kernel of deep truth there, that when we start looking at not just the big things in our lives that, you know, we're thankful for, but the smaller things all along the way. And I think Advent, as Sister was saying, you know, we get so many expectations put on us, and we're looking forward to the Christmas season, and what are we going to get our kids, and what are we going to do for our families, and all of these big things. And yet Advent kind of calls us to be much more aware of the smaller things. For me, it's like when I drive in the morning, you know, if I'm leaving early and somebody left their lights on, their Christmas lights on the night before,
mm-hmm.
and they're still on at like 6 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
there's something almost mystical and magical about that whole
yeah.
thing. And it's like those little moments that call you back to being grateful for the smaller blessings and the larger ones. But also, I think the smaller blessings are what sort of move us forward, recognizing those.
Yeah, those little moments of beauty. What about you, Sister Catherine? Is Thanksgiving a great launching point for Advent for you?
That's an interesting question. I was thinking Thanksgiving is a beautiful time when families come together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we think of it that way at least. And Advent is this beautiful time when the entire Christian family, in a sense, comes together. We read salvation history. We discover the larger family we're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some ways, I think Thanksgiving can, like, settle us, stop us. Of course, we start the next day if we're shopping. But it does settle us down a bit. And it can, if we stop a bit on the first Sunday of Advent, open us up to this greater family and the greater story that we belong to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me, you know, jump off something you just said, because one of the opportunities that both these books present is that of taking a fresh look at Scripture. Because for a lot of us, myself included, who've been going to church all our lives and have heard the gospel hundreds of times, sometimes it's easy to tune out what's actually being said. And what your two books remind us to do is to read these Scriptures anew. So how do you think that kind of practice that you offer in the books can lead to a new understanding of Scripture? Mary, let me start with you.
I think I will say how it works for me, even when I do the writing process. When I write each of those reflections, I actually sit with it as if it was Lectio Divina,
mm-hmm.
and read it as if I'm reading it. And sometimes, as you're saying, it's something I've heard over and over throughout my life. And yet, inevitably, there will be some piece of it that speaks to me differently on the day that I read it, when I spend more time with it, when I don't just hear it at Mass or I read it quickly, when I sit with it and really reflect on it, something maybe I just never noticed before jumps out.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, I know, is my entry point. I know that's my place where I need to look at it from a new place. So often I think we hear the same reading and we think we know this story. And yet if we really sit with it in prayer, which I hope people would do with either of our books, it takes you have the chance to go to a different place, and usually that's where we need to go.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Sister Catherine? I mean, you've devoted your entire life to God. Can you still be surprised by things you read in Scripture when you actually meditate on them?
Absolutely. I was thinking also that Scripture is really about experience, and sometimes also when I hear it read out loud, or read quickly at Mass,
mm-hmm.
I kind of skip over the experience part, the experience of my own life that's being reflected in the Scriptures, the experience of the people in the Scripture story,
mm-hmm.
and how it's similar to mine or speaks to mine, breaks my heart in the same way, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the beautiful things about Lectio Divina, which is a pretty technical word, a scary word for some, which just means sacred reading.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an age-old process that allows us to also enter really deeply into our own experience and to discover how the Word of God is like a seed planted there with the experience of the people in the Scriptures. And it more than surprised, it begins to work on us and rework us, transform us. And I think the surprise often comes weeks, days, weeks, months later when we realize we've changed.
Mm.
Something has happened and it wasn't us.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a gift.
Yeah. I'm talking to Mary DeTouris-Paust, author of Waiting in Joyful Hope, and Sister Catherine Herms, author of Advent Christmas Grace. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. And, you know, one of the important things about these books, since we're touching on the Scriptures, is that they're not a passive experience. You're not just reading for information. You're inviting people to reflect on the gospel. And then, like you said, like in Lectio Divina, to meditate and to pray. Why do you think all those steps together are so vital to the concept of spiritual growth? Mary?
I think that you know, the meditation is, I mean, the reflection is great because it maybe sparks something that you hadn't thought of before.
Mm-hmm.
But then to give you something to think about and sometimes even something to do, or to imagine yourself in that place, to think about your life and where one of those things applies directly to your life, and then to pray on it, sort of it takes it and puts it into an action mode. So it gives you something that you feel like you can actively work on in your daily life. So it moves it beyond just the reflection place and takes it and says, okay, now I can take this and I can apply it to my life. And I know for myself, I'm busy with my family, with my children, with my job. I so often need somebody to sort of give me that pointer and give me something that I can chew on and make me sort of look at something from a new perspective. So I think it's just a little like a spark to set somebody off on a new thought or a new way of looking at an old idea.
Yeah, yeah. Does it do the same for you, Sister Catherine?
Yeah, I'm looking at a line here from Christmas Midnight Mass, and it says, Jesus' birth surprises us with the first look at God's face.
Mm.
And, you know, no one was allowed to see God before,
yeah.
And the very first look at God's face. So I think the method that, you know, Lexia Divina presents us with allows us to really look deeply into the face of Jesus, into the face of God, in the sense that sometimes we can pray about ourselves, about a situation, about something we need, and we all do that. And Lexia Divina teaches us to speak directly to Jesus and to look directly into Jesus' eyes and to tell him what we need and what we want and to listen what he has to say to us in a very profound way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I agree with you because I think that during the Christmas season, people who are going through genuine pain and struggle in their lives, they may not feel that connection to God and that sense of faith. What would you say to someone like that about how becoming prayerfully engaged in Advent through books like we're talking about today could help them deal with their struggles, Sister?
I guess what I would say is that the first thing really is looking at the pain and holding the pain. And something I often suggest is really like walking into the stable with your pain, you know, kind of like the little drummer boy.
Yes.
Maybe. Really, there's so much wisdom in that, to walk into the stable, to walk into the scriptures with your pain and to really imagine picking up that Christ child or sitting next to Mary or Joseph with your pain and allowing the presence of Jesus to touch you. The Lexia Divina, the words that are in these books are powerful, and they can give us new thoughts and new ideas and new direction. And the Holy Spirit can speak through them and open up a new door into our heart. And but especially for people who are carrying the pain of loss or depression or failure, you got to bring your own reality right into these books and allow Jesus to meet you right where you are.
Yeah, yeah. Mary, you've written about pain in your own books, in your newspaper columns. Do you agree with what Sister was just saying?
Absolutely. I identify so much with that because I struggle with it a lot in my own life. And I think these to look at the life of Mary, a sister's saying, to put ourselves sort of there with Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And so often we think of Mary and Joseph and we hear their stories and the angel and the dream, and we kind of, again, we've heard it so many times, it sounds we don't need to pay a lot of attention. And yet we had to look at that and think about Mary hearing this message, and she was greatly troubled. And we wonder, let's look at that. She had to contemplate that. She had to think about, what does this mean? What kind of grieving is this? And then moving forward, and Joseph and everything that transpired was difficult human things that they had to face. And so often I think we forget, or we can forget when we're caught in our own trouble, that Mary and Joseph faced these real challenges, not knowing everything that was coming. They didn't know what was coming. They trusted, and we can do the same. We can look to them and find peace in that place and trust in that place with them.
Yeah, Mary did a lot of pondering the mysteries of these things in her heart, and I guess we need to do the same. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Mary Detouris Paust about her book, Waiting in Joyful Hope, and Sister Catherine's book with the Daughters of St. Paul is Advent Christmas Grace. Since we're talking about Mary, Advent includes the feasts of the Immaculate Conception and Our Lady of Guadalupe, which draws our minds to Mary. So, Sister, let me start with you. How can reflecting and meditating on Mary, do you think, make us better prepared for Christmas?
Taking off from what Mary said, about, you know, the genuine journey Mary had to make to the birth of Jesus gives us the freedom to know our life can be a journey.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to have it all together. We don't have to have our relationship with Jesus all together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we're going to go through ups and downs and strange things and things that we weren't expecting. And, you know, I picture Mary on the night when Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem, wondering, Mom, where are you? And
yeah.
then realizing for the first time, I'm the mom, you know?
Yeah.
Just to imagine that,
mm-hmm.
I'm the mom now,
yeah.
this young woman. And all of our reality then comes into play in Advent as we go forward. And Mary is the one who supports us and holds our hand and hugs us and takes us along on our own journey
mm-hmm.
to the birth of Jesus during Advent.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's an important thing to remember is because, you know, we can think of this as a story from 2,000 years ago, but like you just said, it can relate to our lives today. Is that a point you think a lot of people miss, Sister?
Well, walking into churches during mm-hmm. the Advent season, I don't know what's going on in everybody's minds and hearts,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of joy,
okay.
a lot of, you know, the tree for people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think just the whole layer or level or different kind of paradigm shift of bringing your real reality and trusting it
mm-hmm.
and trusting it to Mary is something we don't always hear about.
Yeah, yeah. You're right, you're right. Now, Mary, do the actual feast days of Immaculate Conception and Our Lady of Guadalupe, do those two specific feast days have any important role in your spiritual life?
They do. Our Lady of Guadalupe is so special to me. I lived in Texas for a number of years
mm.
where she is not only a spiritual but a cultural icon.
Mm-hmm.
She's all over my office right now and all over my home.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you that I had a challenge with Mary as a Mary who grew up almost feeling like my patron saint was too far above and removed from me
mm-hmm.
for me to really look to as model. And I think it finally took when I had my children and I reconnected with Mary in a much more human and kind of messy way where I sort of recognized suddenly what her life must have been like in a way I never did before.
Yeah.
But she kind of re-entered my life and became much more special to me and even more so than I as a child. And that was a lot.
Yeah.
But Immaculate Conception for me in the Diocese of Albany, which is where I work full time when I'm not writing,
mm-hmm.
she is our patroness here. And so we have a special connection to the Immaculate Conception, and this year we'll have the Marian consecration on that day.
Okay.
So those are both special feast days to us, and I think, again, if we can connect with Mary, looking at her real life, and how she can teach us to step out, sometimes even in fear, and still say yes, even when we really don't understand what we're being asked to do, but we know we have to do it. And she is my role model there.
Yeah. I'm talking to Mary DeTouris Paust. Her book is Waiting in Joyful Hope. Sister Catherine's book is Advent Christmas Grace. One of the other, you know, common themes in your books is making a friend of Jesus, which I think in past history has been more of a Protestant thing than a Catholic thing, but I think it's really come to the fore in Catholic writing and singing and media lately. So just talk about that, Sister, for a minute, about this idea of making a friend of Jesus and how that fits into our Advent journey.
The cool thing about Advent is that Jesus comes to us.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus comes from the outside, in a sense, into humanity, into our lives. So even, I guess, more than making a friend out of Jesus is realizing he has befriended us.
Mm, right.
And just the awe and the humbling reality that God, the divinity, my creator, wanted to be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he declared himself, I am your friend.
Mm-hmm.
You are my friends.
Yeah.
Really, like if a millionaire or some very important, or Pope Francis came and said, Sister Catherine, I want to be your friend. I'd be like, wow. Wow, this is really cool, you know, or whatever. But God wants to be my friend. And for
yeah.
each one of us, that friendship looks different.
Yeah, yeah. How about for you, Mary?
Yes, I feel that I feel the same way. Since you're speaking, I'm just kind of sitting here nodding. But I've kind of written about this when I've talked about spiritual friendship in general. But talking about this, and I've tried to teach this even to when I teach high school religion class, trying to make sure that the kids know what I have to try to remind myself, which is that Jesus is already there. Jesus is already our friend, and he's just kind of, he's waiting for us to make the move to turn toward him. It's not a matter of where is Jesus in my life. Jesus is there, and I just need to make the move to face Jesus and embrace that friendship. Like the sister's saying, that friendship that already is being offered out to us, which we kind of take for granted, I think, or forget about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I think our children and adults need to be reminded of, that that exists there, and it's not something we have to earn, and it's not something we have to seek in a special way because it already exists. We just have to sort of turn ourselves toward Jesus and put ourselves in God's presence. And again, it comes back to that daily time spent in prayer, I think.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I think that can keep us from that friendship is the fact that in today's world, we are just so connected to media all the time. There's just always noise going around us. Is that really what it takes, Mary, that just that personal commitment to, okay, I just need to shut down for a while and focus on something else?
Well, I will say this. You know I love my social media. I'm a bit of a social media addict. Mm-hmm. But, yes, we do need to shut down. And I personally wrote about it recently. Over the summer, I needed to reground myself. And I shut everything off, and I went out to the Trappist Monastery in Genesee and spent some time there and was told by one of the monks, you need to spend 30 minutes a night mm-hmm. in God's presence.
Okay.
And he gave me that as a penance, and I knew that he was trying to form a new habit in me that he knew mm-hmm. I needed in order to ground myself in God again and not get so lost so
yeah.
easily.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to tell you that I have not, that I've kept that up since that period is over,
mm-hmm.
and I have not, but just last night I was saying to my husband, this, I need to go back to this because this made a difference. And I can say without question that the time that I was praying every single night for that period made a significant difference in how everything else went in my connection to not only God, but to everyone else.
Yeah. So now you have a new Advent discipline to try for.
Yes.
All right, sister, a lot of times we look on faith, and we've been talking about it today, as something that's internal. But faith ultimately is meant to lead us to action. How can the season of Advent be one not just of prayer and contemplation, but one that leads to action?
Well, the season itself shows us the action of God over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess spiritually, there is that turn within us to action. But then there are the obvious ways of you know, you go and you have a gift for the poor or for someone in the parish
mm-hmm.
on the tree, that the giving trees and all these different ways. But, you know, we might also look right around us for hidden ways to be active, to be a friend to someone else,
mm-hmm.
to be a presence. Just to be there, and even just a smile can be an action
mm-hmm.
that changes a person's life. And I'm not talking about the smile to the nice people we pass in the hallway or something.
Right.
But, you know, can we really look out and see someone who's hurting?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God looked out and saw, not figuratively,
mm-hmm.
looked out and saw us, you know, for thousands of years,
uh-huh.
who were hurting.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be there to stand with us. And for some of us, we may find someone very close by that we can stand by them. We can go take them out for coffee, whatever. For others of us, it may be a call to stand with the poor.
Mm-hmm.
There are many people, even just if we can't do those things, internally we can stand with people who are suffering or accused or hurt. There are many ways to stand with, to be with.
Yeah.
And I think Advent is that quiet call to be with.
Yeah, yeah. I think it goes back to what Mary said at the start of this interview about noticing the little moments of beauty around us. What you're saying really is we have to notice the little opportunities for kindness, and those become moments mm-hmm. of beauty for other people. So in our mm-hmm. final couple of minutes, Mary, your book is Waiting in Joyful Hope. Where can people find it?
You can find it directly through Liturgical Press,
mm-hmm.
Through their website, and I will put it up on Not Strictly Spiritual,
okay.
which is my website.
Okay.
So I'll make sure it is there as well.
Okay. And Sister Catherine, the book Advent Christmas Grace, where can people find that?
You can find that directly on PaulineStore.com.
Okay. And you also...
PaulineStore.org.
PaulineStore.org. And you also emailed me that the website Pauline.org/Advent, you have free resources there for people?
Yes. We have free Advent resources at Pauline.org/Advent. We
okay.
have a word a day and okay. another planner.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and I have been talking to Mary DeTouris Paust and Sister Catherine Herms about their books. Mary's book, again, is Waiting in Joyful Hope. Sister Catherine's book is Advent Christmas Grace. Both of these, I read both of them, and they're really designed to take us through the Advent season and help us to grow in holiness, to grow in faith, to expand our minds, to lead us closer to God. And I know we're talking about two books, so maybe you want to read one in the morning, one in the evening, or in the afternoon, but both of them will be really helpful in your Advent journey. So again, Mary, Sister Catherine, thanks so much for writing these books and for joining me today.
Thank you
so much.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
We all likely pray that we get through life without times of darkness, but the reality is that they're unavoidable. The solution, as we say at the Christophers, is to light one candle. And ultimately, the light of that candle has only one source, Jesus, who ignites the divine spark within us. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Jesus, the Light of the World. It will help you see the radiance of the Savior all around you and allow you to move forward in life with hope and love. To request your free copy of Jesus, the Light of the World, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.